There's going to be time God's going to give you a gut punch to get your attention because you're drifting. And if He lets you go that way, you may miss a miracle that He put you right in the middle of. A miracle in your health, a miracle for your emotional well-being, maybe your family, your marriage, maybe your future, maybe the legacy. He's putting something together and He needs us to be step by step in obedience to Him. And if need be, He'll give us a gut punch and He'll say, get up. You need to pay attention to me.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Today, part two of a message entitled, In the Midst of a Miracle. When we left off yesterday, Pastor Wayne was sharing with us that miracles are not always instantaneous. Sometimes they happen over a period of time. And if we're not careful, we can bail out before they're complete. Let's explore that a little further. Here is Pastor Wayne.
Always remember, and we'll come back to Peter because he's still that we're still in that story, but remember that there's two kinds of miracles, one that happens instantly and one that happens eventually. The ones that happen instantly make magazine covers of Christianity Today and all of the other Christian magazines because it's like, wow, lame man healed, blind man can see, one who cannot speak all of a sudden speaks, like, wow, instant miracle. Those happen instantly, but there's another kind of miracle that happens eventually. But they're more common. But we miss them because they're so common, and we get too impatient. We want it now that we mess up the miracle. You see, miracles that eventuate or in process or there's a timeline to it requires us to be a part of it. God wants us to partner with Him. Now, I want you to listen just for a second. I bet many of you are in the midst of a miracle, an eventuating miracle, and you have no idea right now. You have no idea. Just like Peter. You may be going off course looking at something very temporal, and God is saying, I created you for something far more eternal. It's a part of your life that you're missing, so I've got to get your attention because you're so headstrong going in this way. Sometimes we get rowing the boat so hard that we don't take the time to turn around to see where we're going. We're so infused in just this. And God has to give us a gut punch. You know, you notice when He got Peter up, when Peter had his hands in the chains and between the guards, it said that an angel came and struck him. I mean, this is pretty interesting. Listen to this. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and he what? Yeah, he didn't say, excuse me, Sleeping Beauty. No, it's like, boom! He struck him on the side, ugh, and woke him up and said, quick, get up. And the chains fell off of Peter's wrists. You know, sometimes God has to get your attention and you're gonna feel a gut punch. You're gonna get nailed in the gut. And you're gonna get mad at God when God is saying, I've tried to get your attention in other ways and you just roll over and go back to sleep. And He gives you a gut punch. Why? Because He needs your attention. And it's only when you're in pain. I got to tell you a story. A friend of mine, his name is Mike, in Bible college. I actually graduated from this Bible college in the 1800s. And and so we used to do a one-upsmanship all the time. So, you know, I would throw a spitwad at him, and then he would throw a rock at me. I'd throw a bigger rock at him. He'd find a bowling ball. Something, you know, just constantly, increasingly more dangerous. And I squirted him at school with this little, I was washing a window, and here he comes, and psh, you know, and I nailed him. And so he thought, okay, I'm going to get you back. And so he had a cup of water. He came around the corner, and shoosh, I thought, what are you doing? So I thought, I'm going to get him back. I'm just going to increase the pain level in this man, and just for good measure. So we lived in the same dorm, and so I waited on the right above the entry was a window, a bedroom, and I had a bucket of water. And so he came up laughing with his friends, and I poured this big old bucket of water on him, just drenched him in his books. And I ran into my bedroom, locked the door, and I had a single bedroom because I was a dorm resident manager and of all these monkeys. And so I locked the door, and so I don't hear anything from him, and I know he's planning something insidious and devilish and demonic, so I'm on guard, and I hear him laughing outside my door. And I thought, what? And I thought, what is going on? So I get up off of my desk, and I'm right by the door listening. I thought, what in the world is he doing? And then all of a sudden, I realized my feet getting soaked with water. And I looked down, and he had a hose, a garden hose, under the door. He is flooding my room. Water is going everywhere. I said, you idiot gorilla. I opened the door and kicked him. Poof. And he got mad and took a swing at me. I ducked. I nailed him. Poof. And we got into a tussle. And he said some words that he shouldn't have said. And I thought, well, good for you. If that's you, then get out of my life. And I slammed the door. Bible college kids, you know. And we just love Jesus so much. And so finally I get ready for bed. It's like 10 o'clock. And so I mop everything up. And then I'm ready to go to bed. And about maybe 11:30, almost midnight, I hear this. Hey, Wayne. Hey, Wayne. And it's Mike. I said, what do you want?
Can I talk to you?
I said, no, you can't talk to me. Go to sleep.
Hey, Wayne, I got to talk to you.
I said, you don't have to talk to nobody.
Excuse me, hey, Wayne, I got to talk to you.
I said, and I just pulled the sheets over my shoulder, and I said, just go to bed. And I rolled over, and about a minute later,
excuse me, Wayne.
I go, oh, man. I whip the sheets off and I open the door. I said, what in the world do you want?
He said, I can't go to sleep.
I said, good. That serves you right. He says, no, God won't let me go to sleep because I said some stuff I shouldn't have said, and God's keeping me awake till I resolve it because the Bible says, don't let the sun go down in your anger. I can't. So I said, so what did God say? To apologize and ask for your forgiveness. I said, you're forgiven. Now get out of here. And I closed the door. And then I got back in bed, and I pulled the sheets over my shoulder, and I said, why? I said to God, I kind of whispered, why doesn't he just go back to bed? And the Lord really spoke to me, and he said, that's what you do when I speak to you. You just roll over and go back to bed. At least he gets up and obeys. And boy, I can't go to sleep. Till this day, I hold it against him. But I thought, I need to learn from that. And you know, he struck Peter on the side to get his attention. He said, get up quick. There's going to be time God's going to give you a gut punch to get your attention because you're drifting. And if he lets you go that way, you may miss a miracle that he had you put you right in the middle of, but you don't know it. A miracle in your health, a miracle for your emotional well-being, maybe your family, your marriage, maybe your future, maybe the legacy. He's putting something together, and he needs us to be step by step in obedience to him. And if need be, he'll give us a gut punch. And he'll say, get up. You need to pay attention to me. Because you're in the midst of a miracle and you have no idea. And the angel said to him, gird yourself and put on your sandals. And he did so. And he said to him, now wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And he went out and continued to follow. But here's the interesting thing. But he did not know what was being done by the angel was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. But when they passed by the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel departed. Then Peter came to himself right at the end. Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen. Now I understand. You see, faith is always living in advance what you're only going to understand one day in reverse. Now I get it. But when you're going this way, you have no idea. But God says, I'm going to tell you to get up. And when I tell you to put on your cloak, put on your cloak. When I tell you to put on your Birkenstocks, put on your Birkenstocks. When I tell you to follow me, keep following me. And you'll see tiny miracles along the way. But you're in the midst of something very eternal and you'll have no understanding of. But just trust and obey. You see, there's two requirements for this kind of miracle to come to pass. The two, trust and obey. Because you have to trust because you can't see it. Now listen, what if the angel struck him in the side and Peter said, would you just leave me alone? Because he had no idea it was an angel. He probably thought it was another guard. Get up. Get yourself up. I'm going to bed. And what if he rolled over and went to sleep? Miracle would be canceled. Anywhere along the way, put on your cloak. It's cold outside. I ain't going outside. Miracle's canceled. Put on your sandals and follow me. I want breakfast first. Canceled. Done. I wonder how many miracles we've canceled in our lifetime. And yet, we bicker about how many miracles there are in the Bible, but we've missed 100 of them so far. Because somewhere along the line, we think that it's too mundane. Put on your cloak, put on your sandals. I want something more sensational. I'm looking for something more sensational. No. You go to work, you love your kid, you do this, you do that. One step at a time. I'm bored, I'm tired. And then that which was for you has been canceled. You see, the kind of miracle that we were seeing here with Peter eventuates, and it requires something of us along the way. And one day you turn around, you'll go, that's it. And you will be so glad that you obeyed. You trusted and obeyed because you had no idea. That old hymn, trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. So trust and obey. Because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay for the favor he shows. For the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. You'll never know what God has in store for you, for your legacy, your influence, this church. But he's got great things in store for this church. Amen. But every step of the way, we've got to trust and obey. Many of you are in the midst of a miracle right now, and you'll never know until one day you can turn around and say, wow, now I know for sure he was working in my life. But every step of the way, trust and obey. You know, when I was doing my master's degree, I read a lot of missionary biographies because I just love the power of the Spirit in missionary times and how they had to trust and obey because they're out in the boonies, you know, and you've got to trust God. And miracles happen in the midst of the problems. And One of my heroes is a guy named David Livingston, and he was a missionary to Africa, and he wanted to preach the gospel throughout Africa, and so he wanted to especially reach the Congo. Well, he was not allowed to go into the Congo because nobody, you know, that was a foreigner was allowed to go into the Congo without the king's permission. Well, he said, well, how do I get the king's permission? And so one of the assistants of the king said, well, this is what you have to do. You got to give the king a gift. He said, okay, I'll give him a gift. He said, no. This is how we do it. You take all your earthly goods and you lay it out in a row. Like a garage sale. Everything you own, your Bible, your stuff, everything has to be in a row. And the king will come out and he will choose his gift. You don't choose the gift because it ain't a gift. He chooses what he wants. And then he'll give you a gift in return from his store. And so David Livingston said, okay. Well, you got to know one thing about David Livingston. He had a little medical condition, and the only thing that he could stomach was goat milk. And so he actually traveled with a goat because there was no refrigeration. So he actually had a goat and that he would milk, and that's what he would drink, and that would keep him alive. Well, he put all of his stuff down, his Bible and extra clothes and shoes, and then staked his goat down there and kept going. And after a little bit, the king himself comes out of his residence, and he is, and his entourage starts walking down this row of stuff. And David Livingston's praying to God, saying, Lord, don't let him take my goat. I need my goat. He can't get my goat. Because if he gets my goat, I die. That's the only thing that I can stomach. Lord, blind him to my goat, I pray. Well, the king comes out, and sure enough, he takes the goat. And his assistant takes the goat away, and David Livingston goes, I'm dead, I'm dead. And his assistant said, well, the king wants to give you a gift. And he comes back and gives him a stick about this long. Said, here. He takes my livelihood, takes my life, and he gives me a stick. So this is ridiculous. So he's walking down the dirt path and complaining, a stick. He takes my goat and he gives me a stick. One of the assistants of the king heard that, and he came rushing out and he said, sir, that is not a stick. That is the king's scepter. He holds that when he is on his throne. He has given you his scepter. And now with that scepter, you can go to any village in the Congo and they will receive you as if you were the king himself. Then all of the Congo opened up to David Livingston, and there was a great revival that took place. Oh, and by the way, to boot, God healed his stomach. You see, a lot of times we're in the midst of a miracle and we have no idea. We're just looking at our comfort and our convenience. Get rid of the problem, and God is saying, no, no, no. But this is a crossroad. No, I want you to see the cross in the road. It's far bigger than an intersection. And if you'll stay in faith, God will redeem all that on the altar you lay. Trust and obey. And I bet many of you right now are in the middle of a miracle. You have no idea. It could be about your legacy for your children or grandchildren or other people that are watching you. There's something that God has in store, and he asks us to follow him step by step, because that miracle could be canceled at any moment. And the devil's going to get you he's going to tempt you as much as he can to get you to bail out, to quit, to throw up your hands, throw in the towel. Don't do it. You're in the middle of a miracle, and you watch, you wait. You'll see what great things our God has in store for you. Can you say amen to that? Amen.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled In the Midst of a Miracle by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Until next time, we leave you with a song from the New Hope Singers. For all the family at New Hope, have a great day in the Lord and aloha.
Together. And you know that there are nearly 8 billion people in the world? That's 8,000 times more than the number of people who live on the island of Oahu. What's more, did you know that out of those 8 billion people, that there's no one, exactly no one like you? Only you have experienced the same events that you have lived through. Only you have been surrounded by the people that have influenced you. Only you have the same gifts, talents, dreams, and passions that you were born with. You are unique, you are chosen, and you were created on purpose for a purpose. Make the world a better place by being the person you were created to be. And when you do, you will find that even today, hope is alive. Hope is alive.
Discover hope this weekend at New Hope Oahu. For more information, visit enewhope.org.